familiarity. It can rob us of wonder, can't it? You know, Andrea and my children, Soren and Sage, are genuinely city kids. They've lived in two houses in their entire lives, and both have been right next to commuter rails. Now, I'm used to the regional rail. When it passes by our backyard, it doesn't amaze me in the least. It induces no wonder at all. But not for Soren and Sage, especially Soren. He's seen literally hundreds of trains in his life. And still to this day, at 10 years old, when he hears it coming, he runs into the backyard, yells, "Hi, train," to greet the conductor. Yeah, I'm familiar with the train. Doesn't amaze me. Soren's familiar too. But somehow he's able to see every new train with the fresh eyes of wonder. And this morning, no matter whether you're familiar with it or not, whether you believe that it happened or it didn't, this morning, I want to invite you to see Easter through Soren's eyes. I want to invite you to see the empty tomb and the resurrection through Soren's fresh eyes of wonder, because if you do, the resurrection of Jesus has the power to do far more than amaze you. Easter has the power to change everything if you let it. Now, to see Easter through Soren's fresh eyes of wonder, we first need to begin with Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and their walk to the tomb early that Sunday morning. And we need to notice the often overlooked sadness of it all. In Matthew 28, verse 1, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb." Have you ever lost someone that you were genuinely close to? You know, when I was a kid, my grandfather was my hero. He was the kindest, bravest man I ever knew. When he passed away, it was sad beyond words. And if you've had an experience like that, then you know something of what Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were feeling as they were walking to the tomb that Sunday morning. But their sadness, I dare say, was actually worse than what I experienced with my grandfather. See, my grandfather had a long life. He died quietly, and I didn't have to see it. Jesus, on the other hand, was cut down in his 30s. Rather than a quiet death, he was tortured and crucified. And rather than being able to not see it at all, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary witnessed the horror of it with their own eyes. And to make matters even sadder, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary hoped that Jesus was the Christ, the promised Jewish Messiah. But all those hopes were dashed with his death. And it's against the dark backdrop of that sadness that the wonder, the freshness of the resurrection dawns in front of our eyes. We read in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 5, "But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples." The women went from their darkest sadness to their greatest joy in an instant. That's the power of the angel's announcement. That's the power of the resurrection. That is the power of Easter to change everything. And that's the big idea of our passage this morning. He is risen. He is risen. Now, for the power of that announcement to change everything, we have to do two things with it. Two. He is risen. What should we do? First, come and see. Come and see. Second, go and tell. He is risen. Come and see. Go and tell. Let's begin with come and see. Notice the invitation that the angel gives to the women in Matthew 28, verse 6. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where he lay. Come see. Friends, whether you've been following Jesus for a long time or you're just checking this whole thing out, that invitation is your invitation this morning. Come and see. Come and see. And when you come and see, you actually discover two things. They're interrelated to one another. One's on the surface and one's a bit deeper. Come and see, you notice two things. The first thing you discover when you come and see is that it really happened. It really happened. When you come and see, the first thing you discover is that the very best historic explanation for the empty tomb that Sunday morning is that Jesus really is risen. It actually happened in history, bodily. Now, to come and see that Jesus is risen, you have to notice just a few things in succession, in order. First, to come and see that Jesus really is risen, you first have to see that he really was dead, not sleeping. It wasn't an act. He actually was dead. Now, we know historically that Jesus was dead because all four Gospels record Jesus claiming to be the Messiah. Now, you would never, if you were making up a story of a Messiah, you would never include the detail that he was dead. Because Jews in the first century didn't expect the Messiah to die. In fact, when other would-be Messiahs rose up and when they were killed, the movement ended. But not with Jesus. He really was dead. But to come and see that Jesus really is risen, it's not enough to see that he really was dead. You have to come and see that the tomb really was empty. That's what the angel was inviting the women to do. He said, come and see for yourself, see that it's true. See that this tomb is empty. And they are the key, actually, to knowing for sure that the tomb really was empty. Because you notice who the first ones to discover the empty tomb. It was the women. But in first century Judaism, a Jewish woman's testimony wasn't even admissible in court. If you were making up the empty tomb, you would never include the detail that women discovered at first. You would have chosen far more trustworthy people as the ones who discovered the tomb. For this detail to be here, it must have really happened. The tomb must have really been empty. It really must have been discovered by these women. And what a beautiful reminder that Jesus loves to reveal himself to those that the world considers second class. But it's not enough to see that Jesus really was dead. It's not enough to see that the tomb really was empty. To come and see that Jesus is risen, you have to know what the apostles did after this event. Now, isn't it interesting? The only ones with the courage to go to the empty tomb were the women. Jesus' male disciples are hiding for their lives at this point. But after this event, do you know what they did? These previously terrified men went out throughout the known world preaching that Jesus is risen, proclaiming that forgiveness is found in his name and his name only. And they were martyred for it. Now, of course, the tale was that the disciples stole Jesus' body. They were the ones who would have known it was made up. Let me ask you, would you die for something you knew was a lie? I certainly wouldn't. Perhaps most compelling is the conversion of the Apostle Paul. If you've never heard of the Apostle Paul, he was an incredibly successful religious leader who hated Christians. He persecuted them. And then one day the risen Jesus appeared to him, and he went from a successful religious leader persecuting Christians to proclaiming that Jesus is risen, suffering for his name, and then being martyred. We don't make up things that make our lives infinitely worse. Friends, the very best explanation for the empty tomb is that Jesus really is risen. Come and see. Come and see that it really happened and believe it. Even if for the first time, even if you didn't expect to arrive here changing your mind about Jesus, come and see, he really is risen. But when you come and see, remember, I said that you discover two things. You discover more than just historical evidence. When you come and see that Jesus is risen, you also discover that his resurrection removes our greatest fears. It removes our greatest fears. Notice what the angel says to the women in Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. But the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid is the most repeated command in this text. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. The resurrection removes our greatest fears. So for a moment, let's just consider some of our greatest fears. I mean, perhaps our greatest fear is God's judgment. Now you might be thinking, I'm not afraid of God's judgment. I'm not afraid of God's judgment in the least. Ah, but wait a second. Have you ever disobeyed God and then felt like you couldn't talk to him about it immediately? Have you ever disobeyed God and then felt like, I need to keep my distance, I need to fix myself up a little bit, I need to improve, and then I'll return to him? If you've ever done anything like that, then there's still some fear of God's judgment in you. But friends, because Jesus is risen, you never have to be afraid of God's judgment if you trust in him. Because since Jesus is risen, it means that when he died on the cross, he really was dying for your sins. It means he really is resurrected. He really is seated at the right hand of the Father. He really is your advocate before him. And where Jesus is, you really do belong. You never have to fear God's judgment if you believe in the risen Jesus. But maybe you're thinking, like, God's judgment isn't really what I'm afraid of. I'm actually more afraid of my own doubts. Some of us fear doubt. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in a season where you're wrestling with, can I really trust the Bible? Can I trust the Bible as truth without mixture of error and actually perfect revelation of God to humanity? I'm just starting to question everything and you feel like your feet are firmly planted in midair. Oh, friends, because Jesus is risen, you never have to fear your doubts again. Because Jesus is risen, you know you can trust whatever he has to say. And throughout his life, Jesus treated the entire Bible as God's word written. You never have to be afraid of your doubts because Jesus is risen. Now, you might be thinking, I'm not afraid of judgment or doubts. It's actually much more earthy than that. I'm actually afraid that I'll never change. That's where some of us are this morning. If some of us are honest, we are ashamed that this morning we are still struggling with the same sins that have nipped at our heels for years. And we think, I'm stuck. I'll never change. I'll never grow. This is it. But since Jesus is risen, you never have to fear that you're actually stuck. Since Jesus is risen, if you believe in him, since he's risen to new life, you have a new heart, which means you're not a slave to sin. You're not stuck where you are. You actually can change because he's given you a new heart, and one day you'll see him and be transformed by him. You never have to fear that you're stuck. Now, for some of us, our fear is more relational. We're afraid of being alone. Some of us here have watched as our friends and our loved ones have gotten married, had children, growing old, and we're still single. Others of us are here, and we actually have all the relationships we could want. We still feel alone inside, and we're afraid, am I always going to feel alone? But since Jesus is risen, you actually never have to fear being alone, because Jesus said that when I go to the Father, I will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he will live inside you. Jesus' presence is actually in you if you believe in him, and that means you never have to fear being alone because you're not alone. He's with you always. And of course, all of us fear death. But if you believe in Jesus, his resurrection is a preview of coming attractions for every one of you. He rose. If you believe in him, you will rise also. Are you beginning to see it with Soren's fresh eyes of wonder? Are you beginning to see, as you come and see, are you beginning to see that he really is risen? Like, it really did happen. There really is a God. He really has a son. He really is risen. We really are forgiven. And are you amazed? See it and believe. Be amazed. And if you believe it, and if you are amazed, then the one thing we must do is secondly, go and tell. Secondly, go and tell. Have you ever wondered why people write love songs for their beloved? Like, why can't they just keep that to themselves? Have you ever wondered? Like, I'm not I'm not much of a love song person. I've written a few poems to Andrea in my day, but never a love song. But I do love to hike. And Andrea will tell you that when we're hiking, if we're in like really beautiful mountains, seeing like really gorgeous views, I cannot contain it. I have to keep saying to her, oh, do you see that? Do you notice that? Aren't you amazed? Because when you're really amazed by someone, you write songs. When you're really amazed by something, you cannot contain it. And it's the same thing with the resurrection of Jesus. Since he really is risen, he really is the Son of God, we really are forgiven, and we really are amazed, we cannot contain it. In fact, we shouldn't. Because our joy in it is only multiplied as we tell it to others. Go and tell. That's what we see in Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. In Matthew 28, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear, or you could say awe, and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. I love that. They didn't see the risen Jesus and go, I guess we have to. Might as well go walk and tell the disciples this happened. No, they go quickly. They're full of awe and great joy. He really is the Messiah. He really is the Son of God. We've trusted in him. Our sins are forgiven. We're not going to hell anymore. We have eternal life in his name. We better run with great joy and tell the disciples. When you see it and believe it and are amazed by it, then go and tell others so that they can be amazed as well. He really is risen. Friends, Jesus is risen. Come and see, even if for the first time, even if before all you had was doubt about it, even if it seemed to you like a religious fairy tale, come and see. Believe it and be amazed. But don't keep it to yourself. Go and tell others that he is risen. But to truly be amazed and to go and tell, you have to believe it. Do you? Do you believe that Jesus is risen? Do you believe that Jesus was telling the truth, that we really are great sinners, but he's a greater Savior? Do you believe that the risen Jesus really is your only hope in life and in death for forgiveness of sins and eternal life? Do you believe it? You will not be amazed. You will not tell until you believe. And so before we take the Lord's Supper together, I want to give you 2 minutes right where you are to answer that question for yourself. Do you believe it? I want to invite you, even for the first time, to receive Jesus with the empty hands of faith, to trust in him as the only Savior, your risen Lord. Believe it today. Though our sins deserve eternal condemnation, his resurrection gives us eternal life if we believe in him. So during these next 2 minutes, I want to invite you to look at this Connect card. At the bottom of it, there's a sample prayer that can help give you language to express to Jesus that you believe it, that you're trusting him as your only hope in life and in death. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Believe it today. Take 2 minutes right where you are, in quiet, in silence, and then we will celebrate by taking the Lord's Supper and singing songs of praise.